I am biased. I like Thomas, who is called the twin, who is one of the 12 disciples. From what we hear of him, he has a certain energy and authenticity that is refreshing. Earlier in John, Jesus wants to go to Judea again. His disciples say, "Whoa, the people there want to stone you. How about we skip this trip?" Jesus adds, though, that Lazarus has died and he wants to resuscitate him. Thomas says, "We'll go with you. We'll die with you." Later on, Jesus is talking in his enigmatic way about holy things. He starts talking about his Father's house and how there are many dwellings for us in his Father's house. He talks about how he is preparing the way, although he thinks his disciples should already know that way. However, Thomas basically says, "I don't know what you're talking about, Jesus." Today, and every Sunday after Easter Sunday, Thomas misses out on Jesus' first post-resurrection appearance to his group of disciples. When he returns to that room with locked doors, the disciples say, "We have seen the risen Lord." Thomas replies, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hands in his side, I will not believe." Thomas's response grosses me out a bit and strikes me as socially awkward. And yet I appreciate that he is naming exactly where he is at that moment on his faith journey. He is saying, "I want what you all had. I want that." And Thomas still sticks around. And the disciples seem to accept that. A week later, Jesus appears and welcomes Thomas to touch his wounds. In this invitation, Thomas truly sees Jesus. Thomas proclaims, "My Lord and my God," a strong statement of relationship and trust. I have always wondered why Jesus did not heal his wounds. He is God. He can do it. And I've always wondered why Thomas insists on seeing the risen Jesus with signs of the crucifixion. This year, it strikes me that Jesus, in his post-resurrection appearances, is showing us what God on earth looks like, what God incarnate in the flesh looks like. And with that, God is inviting us here on earth into that action and guiding what we do. When I chose a college, I wanted to go where I knew absolutely no one. And so when I arrived at Middlebury in Vermont, I threw myself into making friends. My first semester was a happy blur of too much activity and too little sleep. There were new people and new friendships, but nothing deep, nothing that stuck. And then it was February break. And I had plans to be with a high school friend in Boston and tickets out of that airport to see another friend. Well, that friend from high school 2 weeks before said, "Actually, I'm not going to be in Boston. You don't have a place to stay." And I thought, okay, what am I going to do? About the moment after I heard, one of the girls in my hallway was walking by and I shared my story with her. And she said, "I live outside of Boston. You can stay with me." I thought about it and said, "Sure, that sounds great. When do we leave?" On that vacation, I learned that Melissa always eats her M&Ms in rainbow order. She learned that I love meeting new people. I love meeting strangers. I learned that she does not like meeting strangers and was quite surprised that I accepted her offer. She learned that I talk loudly in my sleep, and I learned that she was a generous and loyal friend. That visit began an enduring friendship that continued to grow. We were roommates for the rest of college. We heard about each other's heartbreaks as they happened. We celebrated each other's joys, and we did the mundane of life together, laundry and eating breakfast. within that time, as our friendship developed, we realized we could be our whole selves with one another, scars and all. And that realization felt like a deep sigh of relief. Someone else saw us for who we were and loved us, and wasn't asking either to change or to pretend our history never happened. It felt holy. I believe those moments in relationships where we are truly seen are thin places. God is there, here on earth. God is incarnate. And that's why I relate to Thomas today. He is hungry for connection to the holy and not afraid to say things that might be embarrassing or awkward. Those qualities open Thomas to an encounter with a scarred Jesus, where we witness deep connection. Jesus did not airbrush his life, erase his suffering, or hide his pain that he had experienced. And he is not calling us to do that either. He's not calling us to dwell eternally in despair. He is calling us to be ourselves, and be ourselves in deep relationship. This is the kind of relationship that God invites us to with God's self. And from that relationship, we learn how to be ourselves. It requires our response and showing up as we are every day. And we know we're not going to have a deep relationship with everyone, and yet I wonder how this story informs our daily lives as followers of Jesus. Does it mean allowing people into our messy? Does it mean admitting at times that we're lonely, that we're scared, that we're confused? Does it mean at times saying, I didn't have enough time to vacuum again, and my house is a mess? Does it mean owning our gifts, saying, I'm really good at that, and let me help, I can do that? Or saying, did you see that thing I just did? It was awesome. Whatever our answer, when we open our whole self and connect with another person, God is there, and that is the good news. Alleluia.